So this is episode one, pilot, of JF. So, it's a podcast. So we have with me Dalton Lobagias and Juliana Gobecci-Fitz. Juliana is my mother, and Dalton is an genius teacher and beloved uncle of mine. So,
thanks for having us, Jack.
Of course, yeah.
Thank you, this is great.
Yeah.
Push away the wine.
Yeah.
So go ahead, any questions, any burning questions about anything?
What do you want your listeners to get from this podcast?
Many things. A doorway into the mind of a child, kind of a genuine log of the childhood of a trans kid. I think it's also, if I'm being 100% honest, it's also for me. I want, in this day and age, it's so easy to capture moments, and I want in the future to be able to look back and see all of these moments and memories. Like, when I pulled up on my phone those voice memos from 2015, I love them. It's like, it's so far back, and we have so many opportunities and gifts nowadays to record these precious moments and stuff we didn't have, you know, when I was a baby or when you were a child, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't have this opportunity, and I find that so outstanding. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
As a follow-up for this, in my experience, if I'm looking back on previously painful experiences, and this is Bentley that you're hearing.
He's drinking the water. This is Bentley.
Looking back at these experiences, which, you know, for most people, these are... There's a lot of struggle that comes through those experiences, but and a lot of people would not want to revisit the pain, right? But what I really admire about you is that you transcend the pain. It's you don't look at it as pain. You look at it as a learning experience, as like, you know, expanding the mind, as becoming more fully you. So, what is it about you think, that allows you to transcend the pain, to transcend the struggle, and look at it as just a journey? Because I think most people are held back by it. They don't want to revisit all this stuff. It's not nice, right? There's a lot of sort of, you know, dragging yourself through the mud. But you welcome it, and how does that work?
Well. I think you're right. I don't like looking at it as a pain or a struggle, more as just an experience and something that has in fact happened to me, but helped me grow. That has a kombucha in it. I believe your wine glass is over here. Ooh, over here. sorry.
So you don't look at it as a pain?
No, I see it as a learning experience, something that helps me grow, something that builds me as a person. And to be 100% honest, I don't really think about how I think about it. It's when I revisit these things, at first, especially when it's a fresh wound, if I may, it can be difficult because those emotions are still there. However, once it's already happened and you've had time to think about it, it becomes a lot easier for me to revisit it and to talk about it, because it's important to revisit and talk about it. A big part of me as a person is that I need to know why I feel something. If I feel guilty or I feel sick or I feel gross, you know, I feel upset, I need to know why. For example, sometimes if I've done something bad during the day, like getting called out by a teacher for talking in class, in the moment, I won't feel bad about it. However, later on in the day, I'll start to feel sick. I'll start to feel guilty and bad. And I'm like, why am I feeling this way? Because then me being able to discover why will help me get over that. And in the past 13 years of my life, there's been a lot of strong emotions. I try not to be a very emotional person. I try not to to waste tears, if you may. But I do feel emotions very strongly, and sometimes I guess I hold them back almost, because in the moment I don't feel anything. Like whenever I get really stressed or really upset, it doesn't hit me until later that I'm upset or stressed, because later I can decode it, I can figure it out, and I can deal with it. In the moment, sometimes it doesn't benefit me to feel those strong emotions. And sometimes I need that fight or flight reflex. For example, when I was at the Millbury BART station at like 9 p.m. and my father wasn't there, I didn't feel anxious or nervous. I felt perfectly calm, but in an eerie way where now that I look back on it, I realize isn't great. I should have felt a little bit more nervous about it, but I didn't. I waited until later to feel that feeling and realize, whoa, that was scary. You know, I kind of danced around that question a little bit, but I hope I...
No, but I'm going back to Dalton's question, this idea, especially this, you know, being, as a transgender boy, and being so open and okay to talk and share and owning it, and not feeling like, oh, I'm going to talk about it, so what has that... What is it being a transgender kid means to you?
Yeah, obviously the experience is different for everyone. Everyone has a different journey about this. But for me, I guess I don't really think of myself as trans. I just think of myself as a kid.
Yeah.
I don't think of myself as boy or girl because I feel like pronouns are silly. They're just another imagined order. Thank you, Dr. Yuval Harari. But, I guess I'm okay with talking about it because I don't really see it as a thing, to be quite frank and plain. I'm really just being myself, and I don't think about it as being myself. I just think about it as being. You know, it's not, I don't consciously think, oh yeah, I'm talking about myself being trans. It's me just saying I'm talking about me being myself. And that's not saying that being trans is, like, the only thing about me. It's not, like, this big part of me. Because I don't like thinking about that. That's not all I am. I'm also a writer, an actor, an artist. But, yeah, I hope that answers your question a little bit. Dalton?
So, do you feel like you have to switch hats in different situations? Because it seems like you're very comfortable being in this world that's, like, above our current society, right? That's like what you just said, that you know you don't see gender, you know, whatever. It just, you're just being a kid, you're just being human. But to be in the world, you have to sort of adhere to certain codes of conduct, right? Like how people interact, and a lot of that is based on really antiquated, you know, ideas. Do you feel like you're to sort of blend in? I wouldn't even say blend in, because I feel like you're not the kind of person that wants to blend in, right? Do you feel like you're still switching hats a lot of the time, or do you feel like you can be who you are and not have to change?
Yeah, I hold a very strong opinion that everyone should just be, not be themselves. Because you think about like being yourself, it's like, oh, who am I? You know, just to be. I don't like cold switching. I don't like switching hats. I'm myself all of the time. I have to admit sometimes around certain people I get more excited, I get more hyped. Around certain people I become more serious. But I'm still being myself. I understand your point of seeing the world through a different lens. However, I don't think of it as seeing through a different lens. I just think of it as, I don't know, just seeing people. Like,
because most people have lenses, right?
Yeah.
Most people have lenses. So is it, how do you look at the same thing if you have like no lens, let's say, right? And people have lenses. Doesn't it make it hard to talk about certain things if you're looking at it with really different perspectives.
I am pretty passionate, and it is a little difficult when someone has a different view on something. It always is. When you're trying to discuss the same subject, but people have very different lenses on it. That occurs all the time in society and discussions. It occurs everywhere. But I don't think, for me, it's any more difficult to discuss topics. I think we all have lenses or lack thereof. And I don't think it's any special case with me, I guess. Yep.
Well, but this idea, I just want to circle back on what Dalton was saying, lenses and seeing different points in something that you said earlier about, like, I don't see gender, you know, which is, that's so cool. And at the same time, you're now on the blockers that has, you know, blocked your genetic puberty.
Of course.
Per se. And pretty soon, in 5 months from now, we have to remove the blockers. You can no longer be in blockers anymore.
Hallelujah.
And we are considering testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, going back to Chbosky's book on testosterone and what it does and what we all know about testosterone, there are some, and I don't know if that's true even, but supposedly a lot of people believe that associated with testosterone, there are so many unique traits to men.
Behaviors, yeah.
Behaviors, so... People say, like, oh, yeah, testosterone makes people more aggressive, more sports-like, more sex drive, because that's men. Men has testosterone there. So with this idea of, do you seek to have those traits? Or not at all? Like, what are you seeking now? Or what do you want from testosterone? Because that's going to be coming soon. For you.
Of course, although I don't see gender, I have to admit I do still see. And there is a way I'd like to see myself, and I wish I could have testosterone, as in the stereotypically masculine body, without all the downsides. However, there are the downsides, and for me, it's worth it. I've been fighting for so long to try and achieve that, achieve the ability to look at myself in the mirror and not be upset. Not be frustrated.
I think that's my question. What do you think you will see in the mirror after you take testosterone?
Hopefully not chest fat or breasts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I understand your question. Like, a male body. I don't know how more specific can I get. A penis, I guess, is...
Well, so that, no, that's a good point. No, I love it, because I don't think with this testosterone injection...
And I'm not going to grow a penis. But
you're not going to grow a
penis. I'm aware.
So outside of not growing a penis...
A lot of people don't know that, by the way. Yeah. So we're educating people with this.
Yeah.
Little,
totally.
Yeah.
But without that, so if you know you're not going to get a penis, grow a penis, what... Like, okay, I'm going to take this off, and I want to hear your opinion right now. I want to hear your voice. Without, you know, I'm going to get testosterone because I want...
to be more like a boy. I don't want to be Pinocchio anymore. I don't just want to pass. I don't just want to look like a boy. I meant like, hey, buddy, it's all good, buddy. Testosterone is something most men have, and I want to be one of those men who have testosterone. It's on the way to... achieving a completely masculine body. By that I mean male genitalia, male skeletal structure. I guess I don't want to have hips anymore. I just a less feminine body, a less effeminate body that reminds me of who I was. Although I do like seeing, you know, little pictures of myself, because that's adorable, and I was a very cute little baby. Even if I did have long hair, I don't see myself as a different person. I just like most people, to grow and to change and to better myself and become someone who I want to become. And although I'm aware that who you are physically can sometimes be not at all related to who you are mentally, and I'm not implying that it is. I'm just saying, for me, that it is more important than some might understand to look at myself and be okay with what I see. So it's not just, oh, I wish I was skinnier. Oh, I wish I had clearer skin. It's, oh, I wish I didn't look at myself in the mirror and want to scream and escape and rip my skin off. Sorry for the graphic description, but.
No, that's legit.
That's fair. That's
fair. Yeah. What, so this is a question that recently it was asked of me recently, and it was really tough as a cisgendered straight male, was that when did I realize that I was a boy, and when did I realize that I was a minority? Does that make sense? In the U.S. United States as an immigrant. But I want to ask that question of you. When did you realize that you were a boy and that you didn't fit in the gender you were assigned with at birth? Mm. This is kind of looking back in time.
Oh, yeah. I'll start from pretty young. I think most of us can recall when we were a child, at least for me, I was kind of oblivious to the idea of gender. I guess I never really saw it. I kind of ignored the lines people had drawn in between them. I did whatever I wanted. As long as it was allowed, I did it. I didn't care if I wasn't... Sure. I went in between, ripping apart dresses and being a bikini model. I went between playing football with the boys and, playing with dolls. I didn't respect the lines, and I'm pretty sure the lines didn't respect me either, but I didn't really care. I just kind of went across, and then as you got older, of course, there became, a hierarchy of students, of some who were more socially powerful and some who weren't. And again, me ignoring the lines, I didn't really care where I fell on that. So at times I was at the disadvantage of, why are you acting this way? That's not what's allowed. That's not what we do. And almost unconsciously, I kind of lost that ability to ignore the lines. And I kind of just almost forgot. I mean, I still was very tomboyish. I still ignored the lines a great deal, but not as much as I used to.
Sorry to interrupt, but I think that's true. Now that you say that, I remember that. And I think as you grow, the lines become more clear.
Thicker and bolder, yeah.
Yeah, you have to make a choice. Where in toddler, you guys are all running around naked, boys and girls, without diapers. Preschool, 3 to 6 year olds.
Yeah, up until fourth grade, fifth grade, yeah.
Then it becomes this clear, and you have to make a choice.
And
go ahead. Now I have a question, sorry. Could we go back to the toddler room where gender didn't matter? You guys are all running around, boy, girl, naked, Would you make a choice today? Or would you be okay being yourself without having to make this choice one side or the other?
I'm not 100% sure I understand your question. Are you asking if I would change my toddler experience? Or
no, let's say if the world was like the toddler room. Where boys are carrying the baby dolls and girls are playing with the cars and, they're all naked and nobody cares what gender.
I don't think naked is a typical thing in a
because they're learning how to body train and diapers and, so they have
people's bodies.
They don't care about each other's body. Mm-hmm. They don't care who has a penis, who has a vagina. They're all playing with one another. They don't care. They don't see gender in toddler. They don't see.
Mm-hmm.
They play as if, they're all little humans. If the world was like that today, if eighth grade was like that toddler room, or when you were in sixth grade, then you had to make, this decision, would you make that decision?
Sorry,
go ahead.
I have two responses to that. One, I don't think I'd have to make a decision. I don't think there would be decisions to be made. I think it would just stay as it was, the toddlers, where everyone was just themselves. However, my second point is that in order to have a deep intellectual discussion, it's mutually exclusive, the toddler room world and your ability to have a deep discussion about something meaningful. I say that because in order to discuss something, in order to grow as a person and deepen your mind and become, and to grow up, you start to ask questions. Wait a second, what box do you fit into? Wait a second, what is this? You are being asked questions and you begin to mature and understand more things. And as you begin to understand more things, eventually someone's going to ask, wait, why have this between my legs and why don't you? Shouldn't we split up into groups like that since these are two huge differences in between us? Mm-hmm. It is impossible to avoid. If you can have a deep discussion about a book, somewhere in between that discussion about a book and the toddler room, you have established many, many imagined orders and many, many rules regarding how we discuss books, what a book is, and what are you, you know? Mm-hmm. And what comes with that isn't just your personality, because it's hard to have to describe your personality to every person you meet.
How was it that there was not an imagined order to gender? But let's just say that there was not.
Then I wouldn't. What about it? What about this world where there isn't gender?
How about if there was not an imagined order to gender, male, female?
Well, then there wouldn't be an imagined order to gender.
Yeah. And?
Yeah, that's true.
So do you feel like you have to do this transition, which you're fully into, to participate in this world? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I didn't do it so other people could call me by the correct pronouns, because I did it for myself. I did it because this is how I feel most comfortable, and it's difficult to dress and talk like this. And, you know, be who I am without someone asking, wait, why are you wearing this, Sophia? Like, why are you dressed like this and not asking you? So it's easier to express myself in a way that I like to when I'm called a boy. And personally, when I first came out, I had difficulty saying the word transgender. I've definitely grown as a person and since then. But I think for me, I'd prefer you called me he in pronouns, because those pronouns correlate with the way I express myself. However, in a perfect world, I couldn't care less, because they're really just words, and I'm not going to confine myself to just a set of words defined to a group of people who have a set of genitalia. Like, if it were up to me, we would... Obviously, in society, you have to reach a point where gender becomes a thing. It's been a thing for millennia. I mean, you know, you can't really create children male on male, so you kind of have to distinguish the two, a man and a woman. So, although now we've evolved as a species, as a race, we have more, not extravagant, what is the word? I always forget nice words that I want to use. We have more, not detailed, we have better minds, and they help us to understand something beyond just what's between your legs and who you can have children with and who you can't and who's the best runner. Yeah. More complex. Thank you. That's the word. Darn it. But I think we're going to ascend that eventually, hopefully, if we go in what, in my opinion, is the right direction. I hate using that word. But we will ascend that and go beyond gender, not never hit gender. Not never reach it, not fly, you know, over it or under it. We will have to go through the whole idea of gender, because someone's going to ask eventually. Someone's going to try and figure out. So we go past it and we find a higher level of what gender could be and is. We go beyond pronouns and race and sexuality and everything defining you that isn't you. For example, Mom, you're not just a Brazilian woman. You are so much more that people don't know about you when they hear those two things, when they first see you. Not just some tall woman. You know, you're so much more than that. And Dalton, you're more than just a Brazilian boy. You're so much more than that. And I hope that someday in the far future, maybe in the soon future, we can ascend that whole idea. Honestly, it's going to take a switch of the ages. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of perfect components.
This is like a super philosophical topic.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like these are really hard questions that I just really appreciate that you guys have the relationship that you can ask these really tough ones, right? It's to me, you know, if somebody was asking me this kind of stuff, it would be super uncomfortable, but I really admire your bravery and Juliana's also that you guys can talk about this stuff. But I think the world needs more of this. But sort of zooming back out again, I think something that people need to hear more about and they're maybe are really curious about is like the day to day. Right? Like what's the day to day stuff of being a transgender kid that people might not know about and maybe need to know about?
Well, at what point in the transition? And again, it's different for everyone, everyone's experience is different. But when I first came out, it was really difficult for me to use restrooms. I would hold my pee until everyone else had left the restroom. Public restrooms were a nightmare. I'd get really stressed, occasionally have panic attacks. I wouldn't want anyone to know that I was peeing sitting down. And it was always really stressful for me. And it's just an everyday thing that we all take for granted that was really difficult for me for the first few years, and it still is. I love it when I find, you know, just an empty bathroom where I can just pee in peace. Sometimes I even pee where I keep my legs up above the stall so that they can't see any legs on the ground, so they can't, like, really tell.
So what is your fear there? Like, when you go to the bathroom and you stall, like, what are you thinking?
Someone's gonna ask.
Is it fear? You think it's fear?
It's...
What are you worried
someone's
about?
Someone's going to ask. Someone's going to know.
No, what?
It's
that you're sitting
that
down?
I have a vagina. I don't like thinking about that. I don't like, I don't know. I don't like remembering that. And as I said before, I don't like this whole idea of gender or pronouns. And whenever I get reminded of that, it makes me frustrated. So I understand your question, but I was hoping it'd be a little obvious why I would be afraid of that, because I don't want that to be what defines me. I don't want that to be.
I just don't want people to know
that's not something that I want to happen.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're sitting down, they can hear the noise. That's not.
No,
like,
if I'm sitting
like
down, boys don't
this.
Pee sitting down.
I think, yeah.
People need to hear this. People,
they don't know
they
that.
They don't know that.
It's
and
so hard because it's so, like you said, it's so mundane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it like
a bodily function. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
everybody
bathroom,
does it.
Yeah, in the stall, nobody sees you.
Yes.
What are you worried when you're in the stall with the closed door?
Oh, well, but someone's going to see me and be like, ew, there's this weird trans kid in here now. Ew, gross.
Yeah.
Why is there a girl in the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
And peeing sitting down is something that men don't typically do. And
I do it all the time.
You're recorded.
Whatever, I'm not ashamed. I'm sure lots of guys are doing it too. You know, you're gonna go for one thing and another thing comes over and you gotta do it. It's very comfortable, you know.
I agree.
But that's the thing, like, people have these, you know, these irrational fears. And then you hear a lot, this is another thing that people, you know, that are not as understand your transgender issues, they will say, like, oh, people are going to come in here and abuse the fact that this is a boy's restroom and or this is the girl's restroom,
yeah.
Which is, you know, I kind of see where they're coming from, but the reality is it's just a bathroom.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're just going to go
We're just, like, getting rid of our bodily fluids. We've eaten food. Consume the liquids, and this is an opportunity to release those liquids so we don't have any, like, organ backups that would be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So
the bathroom is a big one.
The bathroom is a big
one.
You're going to hear that from a lot of people.
Yeah, like the day-to-day.
Oh, yeah.
But it's actually a good sign that it's the bathroom that's a big issue now, as opposed to like you're being chased in the streets and
yeah,
you know, with a pitchfork and fire, right? We're not at that point anymore.
Actually, in some
areas,
Bentley just pawed my hand. That was cute. Another thing is I'm gonna name a couple, and I'm gonna go into relative depth for a few of them. Taking showers, getting dressed, and passing by mirrors.
Taking showers. What
this is gonna sound like the tales of someone with who's very superstitious. You know, you don't want to go and buy any cracked mirrors, but it's taking a shower when you look down and you see your body. That's frustrating. That makes you upset. And even though it's rational, I think I might recall this. I had a really extreme panic attack. I think I saw myself wearing something that really outlined how large my thighs were, and it really freaked me out. It stopped my basic function, and I hid in my room under my blankets, and I wouldn't let anyone, even myself, see anywhere under my chin. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the fat under my chin, and I didn't like my chest, my hips, my legs, and I was freaking out, and I would not come out. I would not come out from under the blankets because I was so upset and terrified that I was stuck in this body that I hated. And taking a shower, although I love water, I love taking baths, I love taking showers, I don't like looking down. Because it's just this constant reminder that I'm in a false body, and obviously I've gotten used to it. I've looked past the whole idea of gender and genitalia, not only to open my mind, but to, you know, help myself deal with the fact that there's no getting out. You know, I've just become accustomed to it. I've kind of seen past the whole idea of gender. I don't really, I guess I've stopped caring, but walking past mirrors, you see yourself, you see your legs, and it's just frustrating. At least it is for me. And I've gotten over wearing baggy clothes because I've honestly stopped caring in some situations. Like, if I see something that I think I would look good in, then I wear it. And although sometimes I do look in mirrors and I like how I look, obviously there's a chance once in a blue moon I'm like, hey, I look good. I look good today. That, which is, I don't want to exaggerate or make this sound like a drama, but it does happen very rarely, and I don't typically look close at myself in the mirror. Although I am quite a diva. I hope that answers your question. I forgot.
Yeah.
The everyday.
Yeah, everyday, the in and out kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you afraid to come out to people? Like, how about people that you meet that think that you are a boy? Do you ever think about it?
I don't come out to everyone. I don't.
Well,
like
what does
doing
that mean,
that
come out?
Yeah.
That's a heavy. Do you know what I mean? Because at this point,
it's not someone's business.
Right.
Like, I didn't need to come out to people who met me after the transition. I don't, like, it's not their business, you know, what's in between my legs.
Do you mean come out sexual preference, though?
No, just as a trans.
I don't like going out as trans. I don't think it's relevant. I don't think it's important. I don't think it's relevant to any discussion I might have.
Right.
I don't find it as a defining thing about me that someone needs to know. It's not their business.
Have you been asked by somebody that didn't know? Like, oh, I heard you.
I think once or twice, and I learned how to handle that. But
Have you gotten any questions from somebody that was like, you know, I really don't understand transgender?
Oh my gosh!
At all? Can you educate me? Like, has that happened?
Well, they don't ask it like that. Like, I.
Maybe it's not that polite.
The thing I dislike about being the only person, only queer person in the grade, is that I become the person who you get educated from. And that frustrates me because it's not my job. Just because I'm queer does not make me your teacher. Does not make me some guru. I'm literally just coming out of the closet, leave me in peace. For example, this kid, we'll call him, I don't want to use his name because I don't know how I'm not going to use his name. We'll call him T. So I'm not allowed to use names on this. We don't have any last names.
No names.
Just say it.
Ham. So, Ham frustrates me frequently. He's moved away, but Ham was a bit of a diva, and I've come to appreciate Ham now that he's gone. But we were on a bus going somewhere for a school trip, and all of a sudden, Ham comes up to me. I shouldn't have gotten so frustrated, but I did. Ham comes up to me and asks, I forget what the question was, but it was so... I don't know why, but I just got so frustrated. It was something about being queer and, you know, like, if you're trans and you have, like, male genitalia, but you like girls, does that make you gay if you're a woman? And I'm like, it wasn't even that good of a question, but it was, I lost it. Got up, I'm like, hey, this, like, I jumped over the chairs. And I was like, no, stop asking me, not my business. Google is for this, not me. Later, my friend's like, Jack, what you have to, he's just politely asking, he wants to know. Yeah. And I was very frustrated that they had said that. But I had to sit with them for another 3 hours, so I wasn't about to start a fight. So I'm like, yeah, Ham.
Ham.
I said his name. I answered his question, and I sat back down, and I was frustrated for the next 30 minutes that... even my friends had been like, no, what's wrong with him asking that? And I'm like, guys, that's not my job. And he's like, yeah, but you have the education. It's good to educate people. I'm like, yeah, it is, but it's not, I can do that as a job, but it's not my everyday. That's not what I do all the time. Stop asking me. Look it up. Like, ask someone who this is their job. Ask the I hate this. This is even the SEL teacher. Or the social justice teacher, not me. It's not my job to educate you.
What if you have like a little handout?
Yeah, I know. I should just like
click, click, right?
One app for this.
This has like in big red letters. Look it up.
Right.
You know, it's not. Sorry, I'm getting a little.
So for somebody at that stage who's really uneducated about these issues. Mm. What are like the top 5 bullet points that you could, if you could hit somebody on a handout, like what
about what if they're oblivious about what? Because there's a lot of things to be oblivious about.
No, sure, yeah. But like if somebody is starting from zero, right, and they don't know any trans
about the LGBT community,
or yeah, you can pick. What would be the top 5 things that you think people need to be educated about? People that you know for it's not their fault. It's part of their education,
of
right? Is what are the things that you think that they need to understand?
Yeah.
And of course, there's always more resources, but like, what would be the top 5?
I mean, I did when you first come across that I got frustrated for not knowing.
No, that's totally fair because you're right. It's not your job.
It is.
And that's unfortunately, that's what happens. Like, for instance, I was one of the very few Latino kids in my school, and I got questions about being Latino, and people say, like, oh, so you live in the Amazon, right? Like, what is it like swinging in the trees like monkeys and stuff? And yeah, it's not my job to educate these people about that. But when you're put on the spot, you kind of, you know, it's a good thing to move them a little bit further.
Yeah.
Right. So what are those 5 things
first,
that will move
people? It is
the first
like 10 times you get asked, but once it's too much, it's too much, and I just can't.
No, totally.
But the top 5 things, if I have to narrow it down to that, is first and foremost, it's So is this about so they know or for them to
they're,
ask people?
They're just learning about
LGBT community.
LGBT issues.
If just because they're gay doesn't mean they like you. I know, mind blown. If they're trans, don't go through all the trouble of trying to figure out what their sexual preference is. It's like, hey buddy, it's all good. I know, ignorance is frustrating. If they're trans and they liked girls and if they were assigned female at birth and they liked girls and they are now male, please don't ask a question like this. I got asked this. So did you come out as male just to get closer to the girls? And I was like,
so many people think
this
that,
is
really
it's
so
not
many
that's not
that.
How it works.
No,
I'm not doing this to appeal myself
that.
To females.
Yeah.
If anything,
like a cheat.
I've pushed myself away from females. Females are less likely to find me attractive or to have a quote-unquote, pardon the amateur word, crush on me now that I am out as trans, because I'm too boy to be a girl and I'm too girl to be a boy, you know? So don't go trying to figure out what it is. It's most of the time not your business with their sexuality.
Was that three?
That's I'm only got two.
Okay.
I got my third one is if you don't know someone's pronouns, ask politely. Say, hey, I really want to make sure I don't misgender you, because that's a frustrating thing to happen.
Yeah.
What are some pronouns that you'd like to go by? And don't be afraid to share your own pronouns, even if you think it's obvious. It's just a polite thing to do, so they don't feel like they're doing all the work. Fourth is, I don't think anyone's going to be horrible, so I was going to say, please don't like, make fun, but I feel like everyone, that's like a baseline thing to not
basically,
do.
Yeah.
If you think someone who is trans is like in the bathroom and is like just trying to use the bathroom, don't like ask, is there a girl in here? Why are you sitting down? Just don't.
Has that happened?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've been in the bathroom and someone's like, whoa, why is someone sitting down? And I nearly had a heart attack.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not, don't ask. Just don't ask. Just don't look if they're sitting down, because that's a pervy move. No offense. It's not like, wow, don't go looking under stalls. just pee. That's what you're there to do. That's all you should be doing. Peeing and just using the bathroom. It's all that's done there.
Sometimes I've been there for like 20 minutes and I can't wait until I get asked that. That'd be great.
I know, right?
Yeah. So that was four. So don't ask. That was four. That was a fourth one.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So don't ask.
I thought you were going to say a story about when someone had asked you why you were sitting down peeing. And I was like, this is interesting. I'm so ready for this.
But yeah, I get
fifth?
It.
Fifth? Like, I guess. I've hit most of the main points. But if you have a question about sexuality or gender or, you know, why someone came out, don't ask the leading question. Just ask the bare bones. Why did you come out? Don't say, oh, did you come out because you wanted to get closer to girls? Or did you come out because you want to be more like your brother? Or, yeah, don't. Just, like, hey, if you're comfortable with it, I know, because it's a difficult, you might not think it is, it's just an experience, but it is a difficult thing to talk about for a lot of people. They're coming out story, because that is extremely emotional, extremely difficult thing to discuss. So ask politely. Unless you're really close, it's most likely not your business. But I understand we're very curious and social creatures. So if you are bound to ask, don't ask with a leading question. Just ask, hey, is there a particular reason you came out other than just wanting to be yourself? Yeah, don't assume. And can I add a sixth one? I forgot what it was, so I guess we'll just stick with five.
We can come back to it if you remember. So I think those are very fair. And I think, you know, it's very telling that those super basic points are still needed, right? And unfortunately, we're at a certain point in our human sort of progression, right? Where this is, it's something very basic, but at the same time, it's very complex, right? Because people don't fully understand, or they don't know somebody, right? They don't have any experience with LGBT people or family members or friends. So for them, it's going to be a really different thing, because what they've grown up with is this very binary world, right?
Mm.
Where boys do this, girls do this, boys wear this, girls wear that. And it's a real shift for them. And I think some people are uncomfortable because they're threatened by it, but also because they don't fully understand, so they're scared by it. So I think those are very fair pointers. And those might change in a few years when you look back on it.
Yeah.
So you might think that actually, no, the top five is actually this and not what I used to say. But it's, yeah, I mean, just simple things like going to the bathroom. Right?
It's
something that people need to know about.
Mm. You talked about the coming out stories.
Yeah, it's, for me, I was so stressed. My mom remembers it better than I do. But Yeah, it's really emotional. It's like having a really stretched out panic attack where you kind of have to release your deepest, darkest secrets to almost everyone you know. Mm. Yeah.
That's scary.
It is pretty scary.
It's a level of scary that most people don't go through.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? What else compares to this?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are people who have struggled way more than a good amount of trans people. Like, let's talk about in Middle Eastern refugees. Like, that's a whole other level of extreme. That's
but it's
like,
more like an outside factor imposing into your life versus you taking a stand where you may think like, oh, look at you. You have this comfortable life and a happy, you know, household. And why would you go, why do you, one may think that's a choice. Why would you choose? Why would you choose to go through that? And that's why it comes to this idea. Yeah, because it's not a choice.
Yeah, but
I think it is the refugees. They don't have a choice either. So how
to
that?
To reveal something about myself is that sometimes I wish I just hadn't come out. That I just stayed under because I think I would I think I'd be more liked. I think I'd be more accepted. I think my life would be infinitely better. I mean, obviously I'd be sad on the inside and I'd be upset all the time, and that's why I did come out, because I'm not going to live with that and I can't live with that.
Sure.
But sometimes I'm like, why did I just make my life so much harder? Mm. Just because you had these silly, petty human feelings, you know? It's like, why couldn't you just ignore that and just stuck with it and just ignored that, because you would have been happier, you would have been more popular, you would have been prettier, you would have been this, and this. And I think that's another factor of what makes it difficult to come out, not just what other people are going to think, it's what you're going to think about yourself. Like, when I first came out, I feel like I kind of made waves in the pond, you know? Like, my coming out was like a rock and everyone kind of rippled away. Everyone kind of took a step back, you know? Everyone was, and I can't blame them for that. That's a difficult thing to understand, you know? And I remember when I had a crush on this girl, and this girl liked me, and we were, or maybe we were just friends, and we were tricking the whole grade that we were dating. And then these two popular girls came over to me, and this is the first time they talked to me in ages. And they're like, wait, so does, pretend girlfriend, know that you're trans? And at the time, I didn't realize how offensive and horrible that was. And I was like, yeah, what? Like, I was so oblivious to why that would even be a question. I didn't understand why that was an issue or why that was a thing that needed to be asked, you know? And some other people were like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I asked you that. That was so offensive. That was so, I'm like, it's fine. I don't really know. And now that I look back on it, I wish I had just gone all, you know, fire and fury on them. But, like, I just didn't understand how that could be a question, why that was a question. Like, I'm not going to have sex with her. Why does it matter? What's
we're not getting married. Right?
Yeah, it's like when
we're not gonna start a household.
Yeah,
but again, it's people have these questions and fears, right? It's where they're at.
Yeah, it's where they're at. I think you really hit the nail on
and
the head.
It's not that they're trying to be offensive.
No.
I'm not saying that you think that, but like, it comes out like sounding super offensive, right? But inherently, intentionally, it's not. It's just that they have these fears, they have these questions, and they can't quite make the puzzle fit, and they don't have that broader view. They don't have the experience, right? They don't have anybody they can talk to about this.
Yeah.
And then you end up paying the bill.
Yeah.
At the end of the night.
I
you know?
I think you are
unfortunately.
So right. I think you are so right. In a sense, also, of this idea where everybody's at.
Yeah.
I think in your case, and I talked to Grandma Denise a lot about you, and I have talked to Dad a lot about this idea of you see you don't see gender. You don't see it because, like, oh, how come he wants to be a boy, but he dances and he looks himself in the mirror. He's so feminine. I said, he is so above all this ability of us to box things.
Yeah.
You don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You see yourself as a boy that is feminine and flamboyant and dancing and shaking. And at the same time, you want it to be a boy. And then people are like, oh, but he doesn't fit the mold of a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like a stereotypical boy, like sports, tough and aggressive and... Nor you fit the stereotypical of a stereotypical girl. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
And when I talked to Grandma Denise about you, and you said that, blah, blah, and she says that, I believe it. I believe it. And she's really spiritual in that sense. And she says that she thinks you can you just love people. You just love and connect with people. You don't care about anything else. You don't care. You can see beyond what I see, what most people see. You see beyond that. That's what she tells me.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's the case for you. You can love a girl. You can be attracted to a boy. You can be attracted to a they. You can be attracted because you love
humans. I can just be attracted to someone. It's... I don't understand. Like... It's just these things people find really basic that just so utterly confuse me. Like, last night I was all cozied up on the couch, and I guess it was laziness that sparked this thought process, but Dad was like, Jack, go to bed. And I'm like, why can't I just sleep here? And he's like, because you can't. I'm like, why? It's like, because that's not allowed. And I'm like, why? And he's like, I don't know, it's late, just go to bed. And I didn't want to make him upset, so I went to bed, but... I don't... Why? Why is that a thing? What? There's nothing wrong with the couch cushion. If I'm comfortable, why can't I sleep there? What are these things that humans have created that make no sense to me? Like, why... You make everyone's life harder when you put these boxes around people. Like, if there's a girl who wants to be more tomboyish but also wants to be feminine, she has to choose between the two. She's not allowed to be both. If there's a guy who wants to be more emotional or more flamboyant and wants to wear dresses but doesn't want to be called, like, gay or trans, or, to avoid saying any offensive words. But why did we do that? That makes everyone more upset, more insecure, more anxious, more depressed. It helps no one. Society is so funny, and I just don't understand some of the taboos. Like... I don't know. I just don't understand humans. And I get called out for saying things like that. They're like, because, Jack, you are human. I'm like, yes, I am a human, but I just don't understand myself. Like, if I say I don't like humans, I don't like humans. I don't like their...
I think it is what is it called? The nine invisible laws. The sapiens guy? The orders.
Imagine orders.
Imagine orders that we created. That you don't like. It's not about us humans. But
the imagined orders were created by humans. So,
it's constructs.
Mm.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you feel like to go through this world and to be happy with yourself, you have to go through this transition. And you're happier for it. You're freer for it.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're chewing on that bread, I can fill up the space.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll switch to you then, Juliana. Like, what has it been like growing, you know, or raising this kid, going through all the transition? What are some of the things that parents go through? For instance, like if a parent is listening out there that has a transgender kid or a kid who's thinking about fully coming out as transgender and going through the process, what is that like? And what advice would you have for parents that have transgender kids?
I think
LGBT kids.
Yeah. So my number one advice is that when things get hard, just pour more love into it.
Wow.
Just love more and show all your love. The hardest it gets, the more love you need to show. It's not easy. At the same time, I try to keep reminding myself, it's not chemo. Now, I'm not sitting outside of a hospital room with my child going through chemo.
Or a heart transplant or something.
My kid is healthy, happy, hardworking, intelligent,
wow,
doing good at school, has a great moral compass. What else can I ask for but love him and support him and being his biggest cheerleader ever? And I think if all our parents out there that have a kid that's expressing gender questions, I think that is the number one thing. Like, be there, be that person for them, and don't blink it. You know, be the mama bear and papa bear that they need you to be. And if you can fight this with them, they're going to come out another end, you know, as great people as, you know, as you raise them to be.
And, sorry, but I have to admit, whenever I'm about to go work my computer and mom or dad says, like, Jack, if you go on YouTube, I'm going to get so upset. No, I'm more likely to go on YouTube. But if dad says, dad or mom says, hey, I'm so proud that you've been working hard and you haven't been going on YouTube, I'm more likely to not go on YouTube because I don't want to make them wrong. I want to continue to honor the fact that they appreciated that. So I'm not saying you should positively reinforce all the time. I'm just saying when you're trying to get someone not to do something, don't tell them, Jack, if you bring your phone back there, I'm going to kill you. I hope I'm doing, like, Jack, I'm so proud of you.
I say that.
And that's not true. I'm so proud of you that you haven't been taking your phone back there.
Present.
That makes me so proud of you.
Gosh.
And it makes me happy that you aren't doing that. And obviously, anything most children want is to make their parents happy. So I'm more likely to take my phone back there if dad's like, Jack, you have behaved so poorly. You take me your phone back. And I'm more likely to take my phone back again. But if dad says, you know, I'm so proud of you, I'm not gonna, because I don't want to make dad wrong. And I remember that happening where I was about to go on YouTube, and I was like, no, dad said he was so proud of me for not going on YouTube, so I'm not about to go on YouTube.
Right. Mm. It's the difference between being supportive versus being restrictive, right? And I thought that what you said was so beautiful about it. You know, being a mama bear can mean a couple of things. It can mean where you're creating this shelter and you're just battling everybody else and you're just, you know, like, I'm just keeping everybody in my, I'm keeping all my cubs in my little cave and I'm going to raise them until they're old adults and they're still in the cave with me, right? and I'm going to make sure nothing happens, there's nothing intrusive happening, versus I'm going to train my cub to be a good bear, a strong bear, a bear that can take care of himself.
Yeah.
A bear that can express his opinions, that has his voice, right? A bear that is good to other bears, right? Like, I'm carrying on this bear
red,
analogy,
but
strong.
That's the true red definition of a mama bear, because
that's
if they don't,
the baby's
going to
die.
Survive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That bear's not going to be happy. He's not going to support. So there's a real sense of, so there's like a shift. There's a shift in this paradigm of parenting that instead of sort of being the sort of totalitarian overlord, it's a partnership, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's teamwork. We're in this together. And having a good life doesn't mean being insulated from the world, but it's actually going out there bravely and tackling it head on and pursuing real happiness, right? As opposed to sort of artificial, you know, curated happiness.
I totally agree. And I think that is really insightful of how do we react to the discipline pieces as parents, and not knowing that we think we're doing the right thing by disciplining and saying, like, don't do this and don't take your phone and I hope you're not on YouTube right now and you're focusing, versus just making the a more of a positive assumption.
Right.
Yeah, if you make a bad assumption, I'm gonna do something bad. If you make a positive assumption, I'm going to feel whatever you think.
But what is the feeling that we have inside that we're not expressing? Yeah. We're not expressing the feeling is that I hope you're not the feeling like I said, I am so proud of you when you go there and just, you know, take your time to do your homework without any of this. That is the feeling. The honest, true feeling is that. But we don't say that. We say...
Why is that?
Why
do people say that? Is it because there is an instinctual fear kind of clouding that communication? Why is it that we go so quickly to, no, don't be this way, as opposed to...
I'm so proud of them when you are
right.
That way.
Yeah. Especially with parenting, right? This comes a lot with parenting, teaching also.
Yeah, teaching also. Like, I noticed, right? Like, to be noticed. And I noticed when you went over there to do your egg drop, you were so responsible and you did your work and you came back. I noticed that. I noticed that you didn't need any reinforcement or reminder to do this. Versus saying that, we say the opposite. Because it is our fears, because we're talking about, I fear that you are spending your whole time watching YouTube videos instead of doing your homework.
Right.
I fear that you take your phone to the room and you're texting until late hours. We speak about our fears versus speaking about what makes us happy.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most harmful negative instincts of the human brain is fear.
Mm.
Unfortunately, that fear is what carried us through evolution for millions of years, right? That's what's kept us alive. But at this point, it's also killed a lot of us. Absolutely, it's not all good. A lot of bad, but it's something that we don't have to worry about as much anymore, right? We don't have to worry about food. We don't have to worry about protection most of the time. And it's something that it's time to transcend as a society. Good to get rid of. Yeah, and rise above.
However, here are higher fears that have appeared among, I'm talking more about parenting and having, you know, working with so many parents every year. What are some other fears? There's so much, it's stressful when it is this idea of living in a competitive world and where I did this and I need my kid to do better than I did and my kids to do better.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, I have so many fears. How about my kid end up to be, you know, somebody that didn't perform well or didn't do well and I fail.
Or in pain.
And,
yeah.
In pain. And so it is so, and that all revolves about education and getting my kid to the best schools and, you know, and all the fears around, which is no longer the fears like, oh, is my kid going to get eaten by this, you know, cyber tiger?
Right.
Is more about like, is my kid going to get to the best university possible?
Right.
So how, you know, like we went from the cyber threat to the best university, are those equal fears? Huh?
Saber.
But that's where most people are. So let's bring this to a close. Any parting words? We covered a lot.
I hope you liked the pilot. If you listened all the way to the hour and 4 minute mark.
That's the perfect timing right there. Full hour episode.
And so what is the closing thoughts?
This was just a pilot.
But we have
more.
This is just the beginning.
This is just the beginning.
That's your closing thought? This is just the beginning.
Thank you for listening to episode one pilot of JF.